Yes, you were telling me about employment in GE in the factories.
Yeah.
They can only get certain positions.
Before then, if they got, was maintenance work before the war, if you got in, they hired you.
Was there some question as to whether you would get in?
Oh, they just wouldn't hire you. You go there and apply, and you just being black, you just didn't get a job. That's all that you wanted, maintenance. They had something to clean up or something like that, but to work on a line, no office work.
So they wouldn't let you work on the assembly line?
No, not until during the war, when the war began. World War One, all the practice was the same. You know, we got the hard, heavy, dirty work. There was nobody in no office. Down in Reed's department store downtown, the best job you could get in there was running the elevator.
So that was the top job.
Job, yeah, you know, mostly domestic. And then AFCO wasn't here then. I don't know about Chance Boyle. They were here. They didn't have any black girls in the office, no office help. My sister Barbara Clemens was the first black girl in the office in AFCO, and that's only been about 27 years ago. You know, I mean, we just did media work, nothing of any progress, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Until after the war, and then the NAACP had to get in and push for these things, you know? Turn it off. I don't know. Being Catholic, I think that's how she got to work in there.
So you're saying that, so now this is what I'm hearing, that Nellie Chase came from Florida trained already.
Yes.
But if you had to get training, you could not get it here.
No.
So therefore, there were no black nurses because nobody would accept them. Is this right?
If you want to be a nurse, everybody went to New York, Harlem Hospital, or what's the other hospital down there? You know, to New York.
So, all right, now, let's say that you went to New York and you got your education and you came back.
Just back here, that's all.
No job.
I don't know if they really applied, but I mean, not until she came. See, I don't know whether they applied or not. And she being a nurse, she went on and tried, and it didn't need hard.
Well, it's sort of hard to imagine somebody going to school and not coming back applying for
the... Well, they stayed in New York.
Oh, they didn't even come back.
Girls and left here, went to Washington and got jobs out, and they stayed. I mean, you boy come back here, nothing here.
You were telling me that that if someone wanted to go into a profession like nursing, suppose you wanted to go into something like teaching.
There wasn't any. I never had a black school teacher.
So there was no one sort of to encourage you
to go into
these areas. Okay.
12 years of schooling, no black teacher.
How did your teachers treat you?
Well, all right. I mean, they was just in class, that's all. You know, we didn't participate in too many of the activities in school because thought it wasn't wanted, you know.
But you didn't incur any rudeness or any kind of demeaning activities?
No.
Because of your being black and...
No.
Were there many black kids in your class?
No. Only two of us graduating. Two graduated in the class.
Uh-huh.
So you can imagine how many went to school.
Now, do you remember any kids that may have started out with you that probably dropped out of school?
Some did, yes. A lot of the boys did.
Mm-hmm. Was it for any particular reason?
I don't think so. Do one of money, you know, work and earn some for themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Self-reliance, self-independence. But
they were not discouraged as such.
No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Only two of us in the class, you know, graduate, two blacks.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel you were a part of things that were going on around you?
No, I didn't.
Do you think that this feeling was perpetrated on purpose?
No, I think it's just me.
All right, Mr. Bish, since we backed up again, back to going to school in Stratford, before I go to the 60s, could you tell me if, you know, what was your, did you have any black teachers?
No, I never had a black teacher.
What was your relationship with the white teachers? Did they treat you fairly, you think?
Well, as a youngster, you get one impression. As an adult, you would see it differently than a child would going to school.
Tell me both.
Well, as an adult person, I really couldn't describe that. And I know I didn't like school, didn't like certain subjects. Now, English, I'd never fail. Math, I took. Because I've always wanted to be an engineer. It wasn't so late.
What did the teacher she talked about?
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. The one teacher had an effect on me. I went to school with my sister, older sister. It turned out to be an English teacher. And she sat on me. And
she did what?
Sat on me.
What do you mean, that?
Her body?
No.
You mean she sat.
She just suppressed. Give it to me. You're going to. Do it or wrong.
Yeah.
And that's how I never failed English. But the rest of the teachers, they didn't look like they didn't want to be bothered with black. Until I got to Waterville School. But in Stratford, they had an attitude.
As a child, you thought this?
Yeah.
Okay.
They had an attitude, especially when we went up to Franklin School. You weren't invited to participate in none of the programs or things like that. In fact, how many went to Franklin School? How many lived in Stratford? Just my brother and I, and I don't know, Russell went from Stratford.
Well, just say a number, maybe 6 or 7 or 8.
In the whole school.
What was your relationship with the other kids?
Oh, as far as the kids were concerned, we got along fine. We played football, baseball, basketball, softball,
mm-hmm.
the sports department and mm-hmm. like that. But outside of that, there wasn't any relationship to.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the teachers were concerned, it was all, it looked like they had an attitude. They just sitting back if I get out of my sight or something.
So you had to sit, did all blacks have to sit in the back of the class?
No, we didn't have to sit in the back of the class, but that's the attitude, like.
Uh-huh. Just, okay.
And then, too, I feel that our parents, you know, never participated in the school. You know, they never went to PTA meeting or anything like that. So, you know, I think that plays an important part. Parents,
Well, I can tell you about that. My mother was supposed to help us with our homework. I know she was supposed to help me. And when she get home at night, on 6 or 7 at night, she got finished cooking. Well, we done the cooking, you know, washing the clothes. She used to down there and then 5 minutes later, she just pushed plump right down to the table and fall asleep. That's how tired she was.
No, but we weren't talking about it. We were talking about the schooling. Like I said, our parents didn't go like the PTA meetings or any function at school.
They never went like that.
So that makes the teachers don't have any interest, in you.
Well, my mother couldn't go to school. She had to work to support us.
Do you think that teachers' attitudes Did you feel that their attitudes were any better when you came to Bridgeport?
One, I can say, because I went to her funeral.
With the rest of them?
The rest of them, as far as I'm concerned.
Down here.
You may laugh about that, but
it wasn't funny at that time.
No, it's not the way you said. Because I went to her funeral. Did, you know.
And that means that you had some respect for her.
Yes. He liked her better than he did any.
All right. During the '60s, did you participate, or were you aware of the social upheaval during this time? Did it have an impact on you?
The social
upheaval during the '60s. Were you aware of it in particular? You know, the Martin Luther King move with the buses and.
I was for that, all that movement. I believe even now and then, and even now.
Well, you said the Martin Luther King movement.
Well, I'm talking about the entire social movement
the entire
'60s.
Structure of the '50s.
And I just. Pinpointing Martin Luther King to sort of get you in the era of what I'm talking about.
Well, my opinion on that, I always believe in black businesses, support black business, work with black business, either candidate or otherwise. If you see a man needs help going into business, support him as much as you can.
But I feel during that era of Martin Luther King, I mean the era of the '60s, I go along with his program 100%. But when it come around to, was that Stokes, Carmichael Stokes? I mean that Burn Baby Burn.
Yeah, Stokes Carmichael.
Yeah, and I used to tell them, the kids out there, I think that was the wrong approach, because you're going to burn yourself outdoors. I mean, and he won't feel the effects, you will. But for a peaceful movement, I went along with it.
Did you participate in any of the movements or any of the activities to bring about social change?
Well, we worked with the NAACP years ago. We were trying to get into the YM wouldn't let us in. And we had a black woman come down, I forget her name right at the present, to head the program, and McDonald, Isaac, and all of us in the NAACP working out of Beach Street, and try to get all how many, since I was working for the boys.
Excuse me, turn this off.
All right, Mr. Bishop, according to your wife, you were talking about the 40s and we were on the 60s, so what I need to know is about the participation and in the activities that were going on in Bridgeport, if there were activities.
I really couldn't answer that because I don't know too much about it. I don't know what she said. I really couldn't tell you, but because you had to work so hard and so long and to make a living.
No,
are there any activities particularly that you can remember?
No, of course I didn't participate in any, but I supported anything that was going on. Mm-hmm. I know.
Did Bridgeporters have anything going on at this time?
I can't remember.
I can't.
Nothing
remember.
Definite.
Mm-hmm. What effect do you think the civil rights movement have on Bridgeport?
Well, look all the... On Bridgeport, I don't know.
The civil rights.
Yes, this is the 60s.
Yeah, the civil rights. Great improvement. It's an improvement.
Okay.
Because you see a lot of black people in positions they never had before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about desegregation of facilities?
Were there
any facilities that you could not go into before then?
Oh, the theaters,
We could go in the theater, but we said mostly upstairs.
I know what she's talking about. She's talking about going downstairs.
But that's segregation.
Yeah.
Well, that all changed.
Did
that
it
all
change
changed.
During this time?
And you can go
to... Oh, before then. Before the war.
They can eat in any restaurant. Like she's talking about the one you used to go into, they wouldn't hardly serve you.
That was before the war.
Okay. Were there any changes in neighborhoods as a result of the civil rights movement?
Mm.
Were there any areas that were just predominantly white and now blacks could move in Bridgeport as a result of the 60s?
Let me ask one question here, all of them. Up in the north end in that condominium style place up there, when I was service officer at the American Legion, they had a lot of complaints. Now, I don't know exactly what year it was, when blacks tried to move in it, we put up a heck of a fight for it. Now, I just want to know what year that was. She's talking about. I know that was after the war, in the 60s.
I don't remember.
So neighborhood changes had already occurred here.
Yeah, beginning to okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Was there any effect on the black and white attitudes?
I think it changed a lot of attitudes. I think it was a great improvement.
In
respectively, you know.
Respect for each other.
Each other, right. And they begin to accept us as people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not fearless of us, you know.
Well, I'd like to put another view to that question. I don't feel though the only time I felt segregation was more or less in sports. Then when I swam on a swimming team for a boys' club, some places would let me swim in the pool. Other places wouldn't. And I am on the team, the swim team of the Boys' Club of America. Torrington was one of them, Westport, Stanford.
Wait a minute, you keep going way back.
We're going back. I'm talking about the changes now.
Okay.
Now they have these fellows on swim teams.
Yes.
They can play swim and play ball at all these clubs, these different activities.
But you're
sports.
Saying that when you were young, you could not.
Oh, we could not.
Participate. Okay.
Okay.
So I was trying to give you two areas in there that I have noticed.
That there's definitely a change. Yes.
There was definitely a change.
Yeah,
but now living conditions and whatnot, I couldn't tell you about social activities and whatnot.
What about,
I was just going to say the attitude of people in general. I mean, the whites toward the blacks and the blacks toward the white, I think has a great change, have changed a lot. I mean, people begin to think, to realize that we're humans, you know, and you got to treat us as human beings, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about government programs? Subsidies, poverty programs. Was there any change in that as a result of the 60s movement?
You mean like grants and things like that?
Grants. Some cities had, did CETA come during that time? Did ABCD come because of the 60s in this area?
Yes.
Do you think did that have an effect on poor people and blacks?
Well, I think it did only, it was good for the high school children, you know, high school kids, because a lot of them in summer jobs, which was very good for them. It gave them an income that you learn self-reliance, how to take care of independence and from that. And I feel that the CETA program was a help, and also to people that a little handicapped, But see, they gave them employment too, you know.
What about the job training that it was supposed to offer?
I don't really know too much about the on-the-job training. I don't think it proved out too well. Not very good.
Okay. Is there anything else about the 60s that stands out? I'm going to move to another era now, if there's something else. All right. What about the, I wanted to ask about the Vietnam conflict. Did it have an effect on you and your family?
I have a lot to say about it. How did it affect me? If I say, then I'd be wrong. I can say this, I wouldn't let my son go. He wanted to join the Marines. And I know what, being in service, I met the Marines, and I know what they stand for and how they drill them and whatnot, and how they treat them, and the attitude that they had. And when any conflict ever started, they would be the first in the action, like they are in Beirut or in any other place. And I didn't believe that he should go into the Marines. He was more qualified to go into the Air Force because he had mechanical training, but not the Marines.
But you shouldn't say I wouldn't let him. You shouldn't say that he was, he didn't pass the physical because he had he had to have an operation before he went, and after the operation he never bothered him. So.
Never bothered. But the point is, we'll let that go.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The Vietnam War,
there was no family, friends participating. There were no.
A lot of high school kids I know that went to school with my daughter, a lot of those boys went over there. And my daughter's one. She married a fellow that was wounded over there, and it was just a war. A lot of kids got messed up there.
They should never have happened. I kind of political.
I mean, my son missed it because he had to have an operation. That's how he missed it.
Okay, now I've asked you all the questions I want to ask. Do you have anything in addition that you would like, that I didn't ask you about, that you would like to include in the interview?
Well, there's one thing I can say. I feel very un at ease.
You feel very ill at ease?
Ill at ease being interviewed and not be able to argue back.
I think you have...
It stopped you from arguing.
What this? You just saw?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say it anyhow. But with this interview, I feel that the kids have studied the Pilgrim days, the colonial days. They can see how we came up during that period of depression. You know, when the first settlers came over, they had nothing, how they had to do. That's basically the thing. And up until now, with the depression, with some people, it's definitely the same. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they, we seem to be going back through the same.
Same stage. It's like a business circle, just going around and around in the same circle. That's the way I feel. I mean, with depression was just like in the Pilgrim days.
No comment.
I mean, that's...
Okay, well then, if neither of you have another comment to make, then this ends out my interview with Mr. and Mrs. Bish in their home. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, cut that tape.